Tonight, the Delta variant causes COVID cases to climb in nearly every region across the country. Dr. Anthony Fauci is sounding the alarm. The nation's top infectious disease expert warns we are going in the wrong direction. The U.S. daily case average surging by 314% since mid-June. Hospitalizations rising nearly 40% just in the past week. We hear from doctors on the front lines sharing patients' undeniable regret of not getting vaccinated. Florida, one of the hardest hit states. In Miami, officials opened 5 new mobile vaccination and testing sites. Tonight, what Dr. Fauci is saying about booster shots and the potential for new mask guidance, even for vaccinated Americans. Team USA's first gold bouncing back from a rough day one in Tokyo. American swimmers taking first and second in the 400 individual medley. And the women's gymnastics team, led by Simone Biles, advances. Will she make history? Still, COVID concerns continue to grow at the Games. 137 cases, including athletes. James Longman is in Tokyo. Out of control. More than 80 large fires, most of them uncontained, raging across the West. The Dixie Fire in California sparking evacuation orders for thousands. Satellite images show thick smoke blanketing much of the region. And dramatic time-lapse video reveals just how quickly the flames can spread. Severe storms strike the Midwest. 4 reported tornadoes touching down in Michigan, tearing apart homes and uprooting trees. Crews racing to restore power to more than 130,000 customers. And in Europe, drenching rains triggering major flooding in London. Water pouring into this underground station, what climate experts are saying. Rob Marciano standing by. Miracle rescue, critical moments caught on camera. Hero police officers rush in to save a mother and her baby trapped beneath a wrecked car. The officers are saying tonight. And still climbing, the young woman looking to reach new heights at the Olympics. Her inspiring story is our America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We begin tonight with health officials once again sounding the alarm. Just a few weeks ago, the pandemic appeared to be waning, but now cases are once again surging across the country. 3 states, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Florida, which have the country's highest rates of cases, they're also seeing an increase in vaccinations. And in Miami today, 5 new testing and vaccination sites opening up. Every region across the country is seeing an increase in hospitalizations. And today, Dr. Fauci made it clear, saying we're going in the wrong direction. The daily case numbers up more than 54% from last week, skyrocketing 314% since mid-June. And Dr. Fauci also weighing in on masks for the vaccinated as well as booster shots. ABC's Elwin Lopez leads us off tonight from the CDC.
Tonight, health officials are sounding the alarm over surging COVID cases, and that light at the end of the tunnel is getting dimmer.
But it's not going to be good. We're going in the wrong direction.
Since mid-June, daily cases are skyrocketing 314%. Hospitalizations in the last week are up by nearly 40%.
We are so frustrated. We are so upset.
At Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, nearly all the COVID patients are unvaccinated, many of them telling doctors they wish they had gotten the shot. Dr. Oren Friedman sharing what he saw firsthand with one patient.
I could see, you know, unbelievable regrets. He was nervous. He's anxious. I can tell you he's not expected to survive. And I think all I can say to the public is you don't want to be in this situation. Trust us. Trust us. You don't want to be in the hospital saying, I regret not getting a vaccine. Just do it.
The highest case rates are in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Florida. Tonight, officials in Miami are opening 5 new mobile vaccination and testing sites. As the virus roars back, fueled by the Delta variant, the administration is weighing a change in CDC mask guidance for those who are fully vaccinated and signaling a booster may be needed for the immunocompromised after early data suggests protection from the Pfizer vaccine may wane over time.
Those are the kind of individuals that if there's going to be a third boost, which might likely happen, will be among first the vulnerable.
With cases soaring, health experts still scrambling to get those vaccine holdouts that first shot. One Missouri hospital coming up with new ways to reach the unvaccinated, offering a private setting for people who are afraid of being seen getting the vaccine.
They've had several people come in to get vaccinated. who have tried to sort of disguise their appearance and even went so far as to say, please, please, please don't let anybody know that I got this vaccine. I don't want my friends to know.
In Arkansas, Christine and Tate Ezzie were unvaccinated when COVID landed them both in the ICU.
We just thought we were young and pretty healthy, and if we did get it, it wouldn't be too bad. So it was.
And weeks later, Christine lost their unborn child while struggling to survive herself.
I'll tell you what, I've never been through anything like that where you know, somebody that you care about that much is, you know, going through such a tough time, they may not make it. That's pretty rough.
So many feeling the weight of that regret. Elwin joins us now. And Elwin, that father says that he's sharing his story so that others will get vaccinated. And it sounds like based on the new numbers out today that the pace of Americans getting vaccinated is picking up.
Lindsay, vaccination rates are rising. According to the CDC, about 790,000 within the last 24 hours. The administration is saying it might be the biggest day since early July. Lindsay?
Elwin, thanks so much. Day two of the Olympics and Team USA finally reaching the medal podium. America's first gold going to swimmer Chase Kalish, embracing teammate Jay Litherland after the pair nabbed gold and silver in the 400 individual medley. The warning tonight from Olympic officials about this moment. Japan's Naomi Osaka dominant in her first match back on the world stage after withdrawing from the French Open to focus on her mental health. But the U.S. women's gymnastics team and the U.S. men's basketball team, both gold medal favorites, stumbling. Here's ABC's James Longman tonight from Tokyo.
Tonight, an unsettled start for Team USA at the strangest of summer games. For the first time since 1972, the U.S. did not medal on day one. And on day two, women's gymnastics losing some of their invincible aura, finishing second in the qualifying round. Simone Biles and Sunisa Lee finishing in first and second place. They now advance to compete in the all-round finals. Despite some stumbles, Biles has advanced to all finals and the chance to win six golds. USA Swimming raking in the medals. Simone Manuel and the U.S. 4x100 freestyle relay team taking bronze. But it was Chase Kalish taking home Team USA's first gold in the 400 individual medley.
If I could hope anything comes from that, is that it motivates the rest of my teammates.
Kalish with an embrace for his teammate Jay Litherland, who took silver on the podium, but the International Olympic Committee with a reminder, no hugging and masks on, even for winners. Inside the Olympic bubble, 137 people have tested positive for COVID. At least 16 are athletes. Star U.S. golfer Bryson DeChambeau testing positive before leaving Tokyo, knocking him out of the competition. And today, perhaps the biggest upset, Team USA basketball losing to France, ending their 25-game Olympic winning streak going back to the 2004 games in Athens. Drew Holiday leading the team just days after winning the NBA championship with the Milwaukee Bucks.
We're smart players. Great character, and we'll figure it out these next two.
The team still has a chance. They'll have to win games against Iran and the Czech Republic to advance to the medal round. And for the first time, skateboarding and surfing seen at the Olympics. The new sports also adding more women to the Tokyo Games than ever before.
There is full gender equality across all of those new sports and new events, which really underlines our approach to providing gender equality.
And U.S. fencer Lee Kiefer making history.
Kiefer needs one touch for a gold medal.
Becoming the first American ever to win an Olympic medal in individual foil.
It's such an incredible feeling. I wish I could chop it up in little pieces and distribute it to everyone I love.
And Lindsay, this is one of the hottest Olympics in history. It's more than 90 degrees here most days, 80% humidity. One athlete actually passed out because of it. And on top of that, there is a storm on the way. Some events have had to be rescheduled. Lindsay?
As if COVID were not enough, the weather is another obstacle. James, thank you. Now to the devastating wildfire season in the West. More than 80 large fires burning in 11 states, most of them uncontained, fueled by the increasingly extreme drought impacting most of the region. In Northern California, more than 8,300 people are now under evacuation orders. The Dixie Fire already destroying several homes. In just the past 48 hours, the blaze exploding in size. Here's ABC's Zareen Shah.
Tonight, wildfires across the West exploding in size. This time lapse of the Fly Fire in Northern California shows it's spreading out of control in just 5 minutes. In Oregon, extreme conditions in the Bootleg Fire creating its own weather system, sending a fire tornado ripping through this forest.
It makes me sick because the entire forest is burning now.
To the south, evacuation orders for the almost 200,000-acre Dixie Fire, sending residents fleeing from their homes. Flames engulfing this one overnight. Near Lake Tahoe, firefighters urgently trying to save any structures they can. Jumbo jets dropping retardant on the Tamarack fire. That fire still just 27% contained. A new satellite image now showing thick smoke encasing much of the West from the dozens of large wildfires. Air quality alerts in effect from Washington State to Denver, Colorado.
And Lindsay, Oregon deputies have arrested a 13-year-old. They said he started the Green District fire, that fire destroying two homes and multiple vehicles. Lindsay?
Zoreen, thanks so much. And in the Midwest, severe thunderstorms spawning tornadoes as well as flash flooding. This tornado spotted near Michigan's Lake Huron, one of four reported in that state. Those storms knocking out power to more than 130,000 customers. Here's ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Tornado sirens blaring in Port Austin, Michigan, Saturday, right before one of four tornadoes touched down in the state. Residents just north of Detroit woke up to destruction after an EF1 tornado ripped through Armada, Michigan, with winds up to 105 miles per hour, uprooting dozens of trees, sending some crashing through homes.
We were sitting in the living room. Girlfriend got an alert on the phone that we were having a tornado warning. Immediately had her and her daughter go into the bathroom. Before you know it, we were starting to hear some loud booms.
Radar just before 8 p.m. lit up with dangerous storms. The owner of this home saying he was shocked to see his garage reduced to a pile of lumber and bricks. And all that remained of this house was its facade. Armies of electrical crews doing their best today to restore service to more than 130,000 customers left without power.
So many still in the dark. Let's get right to Rob. Rob, it sounds like behind these storms, temperatures are heating up.
Yeah, this wasn't a strong cold front that's bringing in a lot of cool air. It's very warm behind these storms. A big chunk of the country will feel like it's well up and over 100 degrees. Tomorrow's heat index values in Tulsa and Memphis and Monroe, Louisiana, and Dallas and Houston will feel like 104 or better. So that is a dangerous heat. In the West, we have heat advisories in Oregon and Idaho and Montana, and air quality alerts downwind of all those fires and flash flood watches for the monsoon, which is in full force. And that's been expanded up towards Las Vegas. But Arizona's really been getting hit the hardest. Seeing one of its wettest months on record, actually putting a bit of a dent in the drought there. Unfortunately, all this rain is coming way too fast. Lindsay?
Lots of superlatives there, Rob. Thank you. Extreme weather is reaching around the globe. These images from London, where severe thunderstorms are bringing gushing waters. Police are actually warning people there not to travel. In Belgium, a country already hit hard by recent flooding, relentless downpours creating the worst flooding there in decades. And in central China, at least 63 killed when heavy rain pushed a river over its banks, entire neighborhoods underwater. Climate experts say that events like these could become more common as the planet warms. Back here at home, it was another violent weekend in this country. 55 shot in Chicago, 7 dead. The police chief in Seattle pleading to get guns off the streets. ABC's Alex Brochet with our report, teaming up with our ABC stations across the country to investigate what's driving this rise in violence.
Tonight, the country dealing with an epidemic of gun violence from Houston to Pittsburgh.
But it's just been worse since the pandemic lifted, since we lifted the restrictions.
In Chicago, a total of 51 people have been shot this weekend, 7 of them fatally. Among the dead, a 15 and 16-year-old. Over 200 children have been shot in Chicago this year alone. And last night in Seattle, at least 3 people were killed, 5 injured. Police investigating the scene of one deadly shooting when they received calls of gunshots about a mile away.
Shots were fired, everyone scattered.
There were a bunch, like maybe 7 shots fired consecutively.
The Seattle police chief pleading for peace on Twitter.
We've got to figure out a way to get the guns off the streets.
The latest weekend wave, part of a troubling trend in recent months. ABC News, along with its own stations, affiliates, and the Gun Violence Archive, attempting to document every shooting this past week. Look at this map. More than 1,000 incidents, over 430 dead, 1,000 wounded. And many of these attacks brazen, playing out in broad daylight. ABC's Pierre Thomas on the ground in New York City.
Who are the victims?
When you look at who's getting shot in this city right now, it's about 97% people of color. It's way off the charts.
Lindsay, 2020 was the deadliest year for shootings in the U.S. in at least 2 decades. And 2021 is on pace to surpass those numbers. DOJ strike forces in 5 cities, including Chicago and D.C., to crack down on illegal guns. Lindsay?
Alex, thanks so much. Next tonight, the quick actions of two heroic police officers and several passersby, an out-of-control car plowing into a mother and baby, rescuers then jumping into action, mother and child seriously hurt but expected to survive. Here's ABC's Trevor Alton, a warning, some of these images may be disturbing.
Tonight, a heroic rescue caught on video. A pair of New York police officers lifting a car to save a baby trapped underneath.
Somebody's got to pull the baby. He's got to pull him out.
Yonkers police investigating the incident, now examining this surveillance video from Friday morning, showing that out-of-control vehicle slamming into a mother carrying her 8-month-old child.
All right, we got a baby under the vehicle.
Officers Rocco Fusco and Paul Samoyedny springing into action from a shop nearby. After pulling the mother from the wreckage seen here in green, Officer Fusco joining bystanders to lift the car, Officer Samoyedny freeing the baby.
I got the baby.
It was almost like slow motion.
Police say the mother has a compound fracture in one of her legs and her baby has a fractured skull, but both are expected to survive.
It's honestly a miracle that both of them survived. Very strong mom and an even stronger little infant.
Officials say this driver is unlicensed and he's now been arraigned, charged with driving while intoxicated. Lindsay?
Trevor, thank you. There's still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. Video just in that shows crews rushing to rescue teens stuck on a roller coaster.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, there is new video coming in showing a rescue operation at an amusement park in New Mexico. Firefighters using a ladder with a bucket to reach seven teenagers stuck on a roller coaster at Western Playland outside El Paso last night. Officials say no one was hurt. Investigators are now looking into how the ride became stuck. New troubling details tonight in the federal sex trafficking case against R. Kelly. Prosecutors now allege the singer had sexual contact with an underage boy after meeting him at a McDonald's in 2006 and inviting him to a studio in Chicago. R. Kelly is charged with running a criminal enterprise to recruit underage girls for sex. He has pleaded not guilty. Jury selection in the trial is set to begin next month. To the index now, the notorious serial murderer known as the Dating Game Killer has died while awaiting execution in California. Prison officials say Rodney Alcala died of natural causes yesterday at the hospital. The 77-year-old was sentenced to death in 2010 for killing five people, including a 12-year-old girl. But investigators estimate he may have killed as many as 130 people. Alcala won the show The Dating Game back in 1978 before he was caught. Legendary civil rights activist Bob Moses has died. Moses endured beatings and jail time while leading voter registration drives in the South during the 1960s. He's credited with helping to dismantle segregation in Mississippi. And in the 80s, he founded the Algebra Project to help teach math to poor students. The group says that Moses died this morning in Hollywood, Florida. Bob Moses was 86 years old. Finally tonight, an inspiring young Olympian reaching for her dreams, undeterred by doctors who once told her she would never climb again.
Spider-Man doesn't have anything on Kyra Condie. She climbs faster than most people walk.
You go up the slide.
Something she started doing as soon as she could crawl.
Did she climb it all by herself?
Go Kyra! Whether it was climbing on top of the fridge or climbing on top of the play structures, she just wanted to do it and you couldn't stop her.
And now the 25-year-old from Minnesota is one of only 20 female athletes to qualify to compete in the new Olympic sport of climbing. Always catapulting herself forward despite a major setback along the way. At 11, she started to develop serious back pain, which she later learned was due to an S-shaped curve in her spine, eventually becoming a life-threatening condition if she didn't correct it.
I got diagnosed with severe idiopathic scoliosis. I had to get 10 vertebrae fused. Vertebrae T2 through T12 are one bone now. The first doctor I went to told me that I would never climb again. I was pretty devastated.
Her scoliosis so severe, after the surgery, she was 3 inches taller. It took months to recover, but Kyra was determined.
Kyra did not want to stop climbing, and the surgery was not going to stop her from climbing.
Come on, Kyra!
She had to learn a new technique where she no longer arches her back. But undeterred, she climbs, onward and upward.
I always like to say that climbing is 99% failure. Learning to deal with that failure and learn from it is one of the biggest challenges of climbing. You have to be able to not let those failures ruin you and instead have them make you stronger.
Climbing is a lot like life in that way. Cheering you on, Kyra. Thanks so much for watching. David Muir, right back here tomorrow. I'm Lindsay Davis. Good night.